Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
One of the things I recognized was, you know, I was out and about and I was going down the Pea Ridge Connector, and when I realized I started going around the little roundabout. I just kept circling it. There was no traffic at the time. And I kept looking over there to the east. Yeah, just kept going around because I didn't want to stop the traffic flow. But I was looking to the east of the roundabout. Yeah, I know, it was fun. And as I was looking over there, you're seeing all the development coming in. And I was like, well, that's interesting. I've never heard of that. And the reason why we've never heard of that is because of this little thing the state did to preempt us a while back, is where we no longer approve plats or final plats. That's been taken out of our hands, and therefore we don't really see it. And so you, as a commissioner, you're like, wow, when did that start? And you said, we're not really up to speed like we used to be, because we would use those to gauge projects that were moving forward.
Now, this might not sound like the big drama that sometimes brews up in the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. And trust me, there was another one yesterday, but I'm ignoring it. At least I probably won't even cover it. It was so stupid. Just personalities, you know, and sometimes that's not even news to me. But this is actually really interesting to me. Kerry Smith, the county commissioner for District 2, is talking about how there's this new subdivision off of Pea Ridge by the Pea Ridge Connector by the roundabout. Basically drove through and was like, what's that? When did we approve that? Well, we didn't, and that's the point, is partially, there's a variety of things here, but partially because of the new law that says that subdivision approvals do not even have to come to the board, don't get to come to the board, they're decided by staff. A lot of times the board doesn't even know that these things are happening. You know, if there doesn't have to be a zoning change, then it's just by right, and since they can't say no, the state basically said, you can't say no, so you can't say no, so why even bother discussing it? Some people like that. I know Stephen Berry has sometimes complained in Escambia County about why are we tasked with a magisterial kind of function or ministerial kind of function, where we can't even say no, and then we get blamed for something that we can't even say no to. Let's just have it not deal with us. But Kerry Smith is saying, look, it's frustrating because we don't even know these things happen anymore. That's not the particular case necessarily in this one, but that's one relevant factor. Also,
you know, like I said, talking to the public, you're sitting there and you're like, well, why did y'all approve that? Well, we didn't approve that. That was a 2018 rezoning. Here's another one that came in just the other day, because we do have the ability to see projects coming in, because Max Rogers sends us, you know, incoming development projects. So we saw this development that's coming in on Hamilton Bridge Road. It's closer to the Spencer Field area on that side of Hamilton Bridge Road. It's basically the furthest west area. And if you guys remember, we at one time back last year, we did do a rezone for that, but it was really just to bring it from a PUD to R1. So we didn't do anything to change density. The density was basically changed in 2006. So here's another example of a new neighborhood coming in, and those scoundrels on the board right now are responsible for it. 2006.
So I know it's a little long-winded, okay, but what he's trying to explain is he's tired of getting blamed for things that other boards made decisions on, which is, of course, the nature of politics a lot of times, right? The current board, unless in Escambia County, you know, where Lumen May and Stephen Berry have been there for 14 years now, you know, like, I mean, they're responsible, whatever it is, they're responsible. But, you know, Kerry's only, I mean, he's up for re-election this year, so he's only in his fourth year. And so things that were decided in 2018 are before him, things that were decided in 2006 are before him. And the point is that people see a big subdivision, or they see a lot of subdivisions pop up at one time, and they think, why'd they approve all these? Well, they didn't. They approved some, maybe, but if people have already previously gotten approvals and then decide, oh, gosh, the market is sweet right now, let's build now. They've been waiting 8, 10, in this case 20 years. it seems like these idiot commissioners are approving everything when, in fact, it's just people exercising the rights that have already been approved gradually over time by a bunch of different boards. And the reason he brings this up is because he's frustrated. The commissioners of Santa Rosa County are frustrated with lies and errors on social media and what to do about that. We'll get to it in a second. Jordan has got traffic on the... By the way, Jordan, doing a great job filling in for John Pickens today with Traffic on the Fives.
Thank you. With Traffic on the Fives, brought to you by Home Outlet in Pensacola, where you'll find flooring for every budget and big savings on your next home project. Roads right now in Cat Country still... Or excuse me, I'm used to being
That's
on
fine.
The other station. I knew it was going to happen at some point.
Of course,
at
it's some unavoidable. Point. When you say a thing 1,000 times.
1,000 times a day, it seems like, yeah. Let's see. Heading to the main gate for NAS Pensacola. We still got those backups there that are no longer back to Gulf Beach Highway. So a little bit of silver lining there, but they are still back towards Sunset Avenue. So take that into account. And other than that, looking pretty good. But if you do see anything, 437-1620. I'm all over the place
That's
this
fine.
Morning. See, you complimented me, and then I just started fumbling
you know how
around.
To handle it. All right. Yeah. And let me just say this for the one person who's not from here and has us on in the radio and is headed to the base right now, you can't go there from here.
Yeah, no, you can't.
You cannot go there from here during the weekdays. The base is closed to you. No civilians. You got half the information. Somebody told you you had to go to the visitor control center at the front gate. You can't anymore during the weekdays. So
no base for you.
No base for you. Yeah. That's right. You just got to wait till Saturday. I know that's inconvenient, irritating, and you don't like me telling you, but you'd rather know now than wait in traffic and have it turn out, right? So turn. Go back. Go home, as Ferris Bueller said. Okay, so back to the conversation had in Santa Rosa County about, misinformation, disinformation, the perception of things that the commissioners did or did not actually do now or previously, and here's what Kerry wants.
So here's the thing. And like you say, Commissioner Burkett, the Social Disinformation Network, one of the things that we're relying upon in this county is that for our news source. We don't have, Channel 3 doesn't cover us extensively. Channel P&J doesn't cover us extensively. They cover mostly the Escambia County area. And rightfully so, there's more population, that's where they're home based. We have newspapers over here that are weekly publications. So therefore, people go to these news outlets that are on social media to see these things. And what you see is a 2-second blurb of basically, here's a new neighborhood coming in and they're scraping the whole neighborhood down and it's these five guys. No, it's not.
Well, is there nobody in media who covers Santa Rosa County, Kerry? Nobody? Anyway, no, I'm joking. Kerry's a friend. And, you know, I was actually listening to this thinking, I don't know if they're going to mention me or not, but they didn't. They do other times. They listen. It's just, it was cute. I thought it was cute. But yeah, he's right. Okay. There's nobody daily devoted to covering Santa Rosa County for news because it's either weekly publications or it's online or it's to the degree that the P&J or us or Channel 3 cover them, you know, across the water. Now, my coverage area, my broadcast area is Escambia and Santa Rosa. So in my mind, and Gulf Breeze is my city of license. So I feel like it is my duty, and legally it's actually my duty, to talk about the news in Gulf Breeze and therefore the news in Santa Rosa and the news in Escambia County. But he's right. A lot of people turn to social media to get their news. God bless their hearts. And I mean, at least they're looking for news. They're not the kids watching TikTok instead of following the news. More on that in a bit. But anyway, so here's what Kerry thinks. He said, is there any way to bring some clarity to the lack of facts that's out there? And his proposal is, at least when it comes to these subdivisions, you know how you put up a little sign that says there's a rezoning hearing? What if you put up a sign that said this subdivision was approved in 2006? I mean, it's pretty small potatoes. It's not going to solve a lot, you know. But it does give me the idea that, you know how you put up those signs in an area that there's a zoning hearing? Why don't you also put up a results sign? You know, hey, there was a hearing. You saw this ugly, illegible 3-point sign, you know, because it had like, it's in teeny tiny print for, you know, a month or whatever. Why not a sign afterwards that said, hey, they approved it. Here's who voted for it and against it. I mean, I don't know. Public record. You could just put it up there if you want. I'm just, it's a possibility. So his plan was the sign department in the county, so you can make signs cheap in the county, should just put up information and try to clarify and preempt some of this misunderstanding that people have. That was his idea.
I understand exactly what you're saying.
It's Bobby
Marquette. My wife hit me up about that because I use that connector daily. It's a shortcut to my house. Gets me off Highway 90. She said, why don't y'all allow that? Well, we didn't. Well, why are they cutting all the trees down? Well, that was approved before we did the change to prohibit them from cutting all the trees down. And she said, well, it's just a nightmare out there. So even my own wife jumped on me about it.
I think it's hilarious that a commissioner's own wife has given him hell over something that's not even his fault. You know? And they have tried to remedy with changes in land development code. And anyway, but go on.
So I had to explain to her, and if people get their information from social misinformation network, God help us all is all I can say. Because we in some bad shape. I hope people do a little research and get the information other than there. I know they don't, sadly.
Yeah.
I have no problem, and I see what you're saying. You know, put it up that the bad thing about it, people don't read. They don't even read a stop sign. So why do we, you know, maybe one out of five will read it, so that we might save five, you know, one from that. But people just don't read the stuff. And so, yeah, if that'll help, I'm all for let's give it a shot and see. But I don't know the answer to it.
So he's kind of on board, at least in principle. Colton Wright was on board, at least in principle. Maybe we should try it, because they all recognize that a combination of the problems of social media and a lack of, you know, full-time regular media attention it puts them in a weird kind of bind in Santa Rosa County, particularly. Jerry Cooey, you know, gets up there and he's like, you know, I understand, you know, you get pounded a lot for things that you do wrong. But look, future boards are going to get pounded for what you do wrong now, you know, and that's just the way it is. And, you know, you make decisions too. And he actually thought that he had a pretty concise way of responding.
I in good conscience, I can't go for spending taxpayer money to put up a sign to say I didn't have anything to do with this.
Which is kind of accurate, right? Like, that's Kerry's goal is, you know, don't blame us. It was somebody else. And then, of course, would there be a future with that? Do blame them, you know, whatever could be the case.
It has nothing to do with social media people. It has nothing to do with that.
Oh, this woman had gotten offended that they were complaining about liars on social media. She's like, I'm on social media and I don't lie. It's not everybody.
It's the news source in this county is social media, and that's by default.
West Pennsylvania News.
That's just something that I'm saying by, you know, we recognize that. We don't have a media source that's concentrating on Santa Rosa County other than social media.
One. Anyway, so just one small little radio station that's struggling at it. Anyway, this is what it got me thinking about. How do you really fix this problem? How, if you're the county, how do you solve this problem of you got people out there spreading errors, spreading lies, errors and lies both, okay? As we've talked about many times recently, I am more and more convinced that the biggest problem with social media is that is not that it exists, it's that the wrong people talk and the right people shut up. The people with low information, people who aren't great at reasoning, and people who generally are malicious, they talk the loudest all the time. And then the people who know things and reason well and are kind and generous and decent, they just pass by. They scroll by. Listen, there's no way to say this without sounding arrogant, but you'll get my point. I know as much about what's going on in these two counties as anybody in these two counties, right? I don't fight on social media with people. I see the stupid stuff people say, and I don't engage them. I don't fix it. And it's mostly because I don't have enough time. I am already at a lot of time invested. You know how much time it would take for me to be out there fixing all the stupidity on social media and just about, like, local issues and facts that people get wrong? I mean, that's a full-time job. And that's when it gave me this idea. And I don't know whether you want to agree or disagree with me. I'm kind of curious about it. What would you think if the county paid, I mean, I don't want to task any of the current employees because I like them too much. I don't want to task Sarah with this. But what if the PIO had a job, or one of the PIOs had a job of go correct information on social media. Look, if I say something wrong, they contact me and tell me to say it right. If the PNJ or Channel 3 says something wrong, they contact them and tell them to say it right. They are available for interviews all the time. They are available with resources, websites, backup materials for the documents that the board deals with, drawings, facts, right? Well, but they're not fighting the battle in the wrong place or in the right place. The right place to fight this battle is on the front lines of stupidity on social media. And why isn't there a person in Pensacola, in Escambia County, in Gulf Breeze, in Santa Rosa, in Milton, whose maybe full-time job is get out there with the facts? In the comments, on social media, admins for groups, work on them. Explain it to them. You say, you telling me we're going to have taxpayer money paying a person to tell the people that they're wrong with their own money? They do it now. They just don't do it as effectively as they could do on social media because they're doing it through press releases and interviews and correcting regular media sources when we're wrong. I don't know if it would work. And, you know, the loudest, dumbest, least informed people are not usually the easiest to correct, so I'm not sure how effective it would be. But at least there'd be some facts in the threads that represent the valid information that maybe other people would see, and so they wouldn't be left with just the misinformation. I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting idea, and it raised the question, what really is the job of a public information officer for a governmental entity? And that's where Kerry got me thinking about this yesterday. 726 on News Radio 92.3. Ain't none of us in the regular old private sector willing to take on the task. It's too much time and too much anxiety and frustration and irritation. And again, I'm in the best position to do this, and I'm not willing to do it. So maybe you need to pay somebody to do it. Jordan's got traffic on the fives.
Roads are still kind of holding strong. Not really seeing anything added to what we've already kind of been keeping an eye on throughout the morning, which is just a slowdown heading to the main gate of NAS Pensacola, well past the Shell station. If you see anything else, let us know. 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your traffic on the vibes.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. They know we're all part of one big family. And we borrowed him for the day from Cat Country. It's good. Hey, if you have a company, you have employees, you have benefits. You have to deal with health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability. You got to manage HR. You got to do payroll. You know, all the stuff that you got into business because you love doing all that stuff. No, nobody likes that. Well, not quite true. Torgerson Consulting, they like that stuff. They're good at it. They're weird in the good way. Like, you got into business to do things you like that other people don't like to do. They pay you to do it, right? Same thing. Torgerson Consulting is there to help you do the things that you don't like to do. And they're good at it. We've been using them here at News Radio and Cat Country for 5 years. They're fantastic. I mean, they're not miracle workers. The market is what it is. But out of the various alternatives that are all bad, they pick the least bad. They find us the best one, and they give us choices, which I love. We didn't have choices before. We had, you know, I mean, there was, I guess, customer service before, but there's great customer service now. When we have questions, they have answers. My wife and I, big fans of Torgerson Consulting. More than 20 years helping local businesses figure this stuff out. No obligation to have them review what you're doing. 433-9996 or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Don't forget who the real enemy is. He is described in 1 Peter 5:8, where the Bible says, "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The devil is the diabolical one. He is as a roaring lion who is prowling around the neighborhood, seeking whom he may devour spiritually. Inside a home, a brother and sister or a husband and a wife may be arguing, maybe slamming doors and yelling, but the moment that they recognize that there's a prowler outside the house, the petty differences and the argument disappear, and the family unites as one to protect their home. So it is God's call on his children to be sober and vigilant and resist the real enemy, the devil, and he will flee from you.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Recycling in Pensacola is back. And signing up is easier than ever. Just one call adds recycling to your regular sanitation service. No paperwork, no hassle. Just a simple way to keep more out of the landfill and do your part for our city. Recycling in Pensacola is back. One quick call is all it takes. Dial 311 to start recycling.
City of Pensacola Sanitation Services. Recycling made easy.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
None of this ever happened, gentlemen. And I don't want to see any paperwork on this.
Yeah, we're out of time. I would have loved to have a little conversation about this. I only blame me, though. I'm long-winded. A lot of disagreement over this question of social media and, you know, having somebody go do it. On the one hand, some people really love the idea. On the other hand, other people are like, I love the idea, but it won't work because the loud, dumb people on social media don't listen anyway. And, you know, it's like the tar baby with Brer Rabbit. All you do is get trapped up in their nonsense. Maybe it's worth a try, though.
News. I'm CJ Papa. House hearing 10 a.m. Eastern on the challenges facing TSA agents and the public during the 40-day DHS shutdown. Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House.
If the people in these long lines are blaming Democrats, Democrats are not getting word of that yet. They are not feeling the heat from angry travelers in long TSA lines. They still will not agree to a deal to fund DHS. Pay TSA workers.
Democrats demanding major reforms to ICE enforcement. Can diplomacy lead to peace?
Egypt, Pakistan, and Turkey are reportedly leading mediations as Gulf countries come under continued Iranian attack.
Fox's Trey Inks in Tel Aviv, the long road to recovery.
Mud up to 5 feet into their homes.
Yeah, for people in Hawaii devastated by massive flooding following feet of rain. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 65 degrees and cloudy skies here this morning. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's on the way in just a few minutes. Santa Rosa County Commissioners moving towards creating land conservation programs. Two of them, one focused on protecting farmland, the other on sensitive areas like wetlands and salt marshes. Commissioner Rhett Rowell pushing for formal adoption of what he's calling the Legacy Lands Protection Program. The board agreed another meeting will be needed to work out the details. Chairman Colton Wright says he is encouraged by where the board stands on the conservation issues currently.
I think for the first time, a board that unanimously is working and wants to work towards land conservation, watershed protection, and truly looking at the future of the county, you know, and putting some guardrails up and having some balance out there.
And the board plans to take up the programs and a potential funding mechanism at their meeting on Thursday. A Pensacola homeless shelter has now nearly doubled its capacity after a big renovation. Bright Bridge Ministries held a grand opening this week for its new south wing. They've expanded from 50 now to 90 beds available for men. The nonprofit received $1.5 million in local, state, and federal grant funding for that project. A new wellness room donated by the YMCA was also added in that renovation. A wildfire at Gulf State Park and Gulf Shores has grown to at least 117 acres, according to Alabama Forestry. That fire started when a tree fell on a power line. It spread into two fires. And helicopters were dumping water on the blaze yesterday. Several roads and businesses in that area were affected. Residents and visitors also urged to avoid that wildfire area. A Santa Rosa County deputy is on administrative leave after being arrested for a DUI in Mississippi over the weekend. Ocean Springs police arrested Jessica Harrison on Sunday on misdemeanor charges of DUI and leaving the scene of an accident. Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office confirming to Channel 3 that Harrison was driving an unmarked patrol car at the patrol vehicle at the time and was in the area for some type of training. She was released on $1,400 bond. An internal investigation into that incident is underway. Well, could Pensacola's airport be forced to close? Transportation Secretary John Duffy raising that possibility for smaller airports this week if the partial government shutdown continues. Now, Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves says so far the city has not received any type of warning like that, but he does say
an airport closure for any reason, whether it's an emergency, whether it's a threat, whether it's anything else, is obviously devastating to residents using the airport, visitors coming in, to our local small businesses that rely on people using our airport and being able to get here conveniently.
And Mayor Reeves does say that a closure would cost the airport an estimated $750,000 a week, but he stresses that Pensacola is not under any consideration for a shutdown. Currently, it is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's check in with Jordan for a look at our traffic on the fives.
Yeah, the roads right now still backed up past the main gate for NAS Pensacola, all the way for the past the Shell station, almost back towards Winthrop Avenue. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. And if you see anything else, let us know. 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jordan. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have a beautiful day today. Mostly sunny skies, high near 73. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Thursday, sunny skies, high near 78. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 62 degrees. Heading into Friday, sunny skies, high near 80 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 65 degrees, cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are sharply lower by roughly 5% this morning after President Trump said that Washington and Tehran are in negotiations right now. Iran has also signaled safe passage for non-hostile ships through the Strait of Hormuz. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $87.39 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $98.59 per barrel. OpenAI CFO Sarah Friar told CNBC that the startup is raising an additional $10 billion from investors. She added, "It didn't matter where you went. People really believed in this AI revolution, and they wanted to put their money to work behind it." Arm stock rose 6% after the company announced new financial figures. Arm projected $25 billion in revenue in 2031. Arm's revenue last year was just above $4 billion. $15 billion of the 2031 revenue is projected to come from sales of Arm's first in-house chip, the AGI CPU. Futures are sharply higher, with the Dow jumping 400 points after the reports of a U.S. peace plan for Iran sends oil prices lower. That's Your Money Now.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a one-carat diamond for 10 bucks? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
What is website visitor ID? How much effort do you put into attracting people to your website without having any idea of who actually visits? With website visitor ID, you can collect the name, email address, physical address, and even demographic information from the people who come to your website, all without cookies. This is lead generation gold. It's called website visitor ID.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
Here's the tale of Tina, searching up and down for decent GLP-1s, but got spun around.
Till good RX wrote in, hey, we got something new. GLP-1 prescriptions, all FDA approved.
Brand name meds, no flags that are red.
Clear pricing from the start, none of those hidden fees in your cart.
Delivered to your door or pick up same day. Darn tootin'.
Save time and money on prescriptions.
Hot foot it to goodrx.com/weightloss. GoodRx is not insurance.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative,
informative,
local,
dependable. Dependable.
Update, just giving you some percentages as I have the last few weeks. Stormwater infrastructure, 80% complete, still on track to be done April 3rd. Curb and gutter install, 80% complete, on track for April 24th. Irrigation is 90% complete, almost done, and that'll be done April 10th. And then the paver installation is about halfway done and will be complete by May 8th.
So on track or ahead of track, and we're more than halfway there. And, you know, it's kind of the, you know, before you know it, it'll be all over and everything will be mostly fine. Mayor Reeves joins us now. DC Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Sir, basically the project is more than halfway done, right?
That's right. Yeah, still on track, on schedule for May 24th. You know, I get asked about it at every event that I'm at, and with lots of what I consider pretty consensus about finally, once we people saw that, hey, the sidewalks are open and hey, this thing's moving really quickly. And by the way, and a huge thank you to your listeners and everybody else continuing to support businesses. We're hearing good reports from them that
great.
You know, people continue to remain supportive. So, you know, it turns out, as I always say on the show and in my job, change causes anxiety. And when you propose change, it's hard, and now when you see the reality of what is to come, I think that's really turned some attitudes around compared to some of the conversations and water cooler talk previous to the project beginning.
You know, when this is all done, you're going to have here's the problem that I suspect you're going to have. The aesthetic of it is, I think, going to be fantastic. I love the aesthetic of this thing. I know some people disagree, but that's fine. Okay, we might wrangle about that, yeah. But at least that's something you can see and look at and go, oh, shiny and new, looks cool. What you're not going to get credit for is the problem that no longer exists with the stormwater, right? You know, nobody is going to do the every 2 month update of, hey, no floods this week on Palafox. You know, like, but that's the big value of this project. And what is it? Is it 2 inches of rain in an hour? What is the metric that it can handle?
Yeah. Well, a couple things. You're disappointing me. I had this vision that I was going to have citizens giving like a thumbs up next to one of the new stormwater outfalls and saying, you know, good job, Mayor. I didn't.
Doing selfies next to the storm drain and celebrating every couple days on Instagram. Right.
Exactly. Crushing my hopes of that picture coming to life. But no, it's 97,000 gallons of stormwater, and that is the equivalent of, if we took a bucket like we were on Nickelodeon and dropped 1 inch of rain on the entire project area, it would be immediately taken into the storm drain, and that's the increased capacity. That's 1 inch instantaneously, not 1 inch over an hour or 2 hours or 5 hours. So that's the level of increase of stormwater just on the Palafox project itself.
That's amazing. All right, so let's talk about the controversy. You know where I'm going with this. Yes. Palm trees on Palafox?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I actually took this as good news. I saw the front page of PNJ.com, and I realized I've made it. That 3.5 years into this job, the biggest controversy we have is 12 palm trees. So all of my fellow mayors are very jealous of me that is the biggest controversy we have in our
city.
Well,
okay. But, I do have to say, in all fairness, there have been others, and the PNJ has reported on them. But no, fair enough. I mean, this
right.
is the big thing at the moment,
high,
right?
I'm taking the high water mark.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, this has been on the plan since 24 or 25. And obviously, there's a local landscape architecture firm, Gary Pate Company, that's done many projects around the world, including in Pensacola, including Jefferson Street, that designed these. The ultimate argument of those is number one. Well, the ones that we're hearing is, one, these aren't native, which is actually the state tree of Florida, and it is native. And as a matter of fact, we saved a couple dozen of these, or give or take, at Bruce Beach that are there right now. And so we see people cutting them down, but So that's one misperception. And then the second part is, which I find interesting, because some people that have criticized taking some of the parking bays where there's is also where these are going in. Well, the entire argument of that was to increase dwell time and dwell space and to have room to move around or have tables and things like that. Well, if you only put trees that have where the leaves and the limbs are stretching out and taking up some of that newly created space, then that kind of is in conflict with the idea of creating more dwell space throughout. So the good news is this, where it's about a plus 40 or 50 tree project. And so at the end of the day, these 12 palm trees are in addition to another about 38 in addition to the ones that already exist. So we aren't losing canopy, we're net gaining canopy significantly across the project. So again, I rely on our experts that do this for a living all over the world, and we think they've done a pretty good job.
And I may have blinked with my ears if you mentioned it, but the root system is also a benefit because, as I understand it, palm trees don't develop this ginormous lateral root system. They're more of a ball root, and so, which is part of what makes them vulnerable a lot of times to storms, but that it won't be this ongoing disruption to the pavers and the streets and the sidewalks and all of that over time. Is that right?
That's correct. And then also understand, again, I strongly suggest that there's people posting one photo on Facebook and then saying this is how everything's going to be. And actually, what I found kind of funny, too, is I think one of the criticisms was, hey, this isn't South Florida, this is New Orleans. And then I saw someone post a photo from Canal Street, which is lined with palm trees, so or Charleston. So, everybody's going to have an opinion on something like that, which they certainly have their right to do.
Yeah.
I can tell you the mayor doesn't hand select tree types throughout these. Again, we rely on professionals to do this. And I think it is important to point out in summation that there is a benefit. There are benefits to having these palm trees that have been thought through. And in terms of the sustainability, there's plenty of tree canopy and shade being created throughout the street, et cetera.
I'm just not sure I can go on with the level of misinformation, Mr. Mayor, that you're providing. I mean, you know, you're trying to tell me that palm trees are native to Northwest Florida. You keep claiming that there are no secret tunnels underneath the ground in Pensacola, and your dad's Rolls Royce wasn't even owned by John Lennon. Like, I can't go on with all of the, you know, the things surrounding you. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves.
I understand.
Hang on for just a second. Let's get traffic from Jordan.
Yeah, roads are looking pretty good right now. We do have a new wreck at Mobile Highway and Kirk Street. Does have some slowdowns there on Mobile Highway. Looks like it's down to one lane heading southbound on Mobile Highway. Other than that, main gate for NAS Pensacola is still backed up at this time. But if you do see anything else, you can let us know. 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jordan. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. And on top of all the other things that you're, you know, not telling us the truth about, based on the picture I saw on social media, the TSA line at the checking area for the airport out on Pensacola Beach was terrible yesterday. What else are you keeping from us?
Yeah, exactly. I always do appreciate, you know, the 5% of people who react to that saying, hey, that's not it.
Oh, my God.
Knowing that it's actually, you know, an AI photo.
The people who knew just enough to say that it was fake are the most horrifying to me. That's the scariest one to me.
Exactly. I 100% agree.
All right. On serious matters, though, the airport is still running well. So far, so good. I know you took some time yesterday to talk about the employees, and you appreciate their hard work. You know, but goodwill only lasts so long. What can the city do to maybe alleviate some of the pain, help them out? I know you maybe can't do much because it's federal employees, but we like what's happening now. We hope it doesn't last too long. At a certain point, goodwill ends.
Yeah, that's right. And so, 110 TSA employees there. And we're certainly appreciative. That number was not as big when we were having those issues, you know, a couple years ago. And there's been more local leadership and more local communication, frankly, ever since we kind of had to, you know, pound the fist on the table a couple of years ago when we were running into all those issues. So we try to appreciate them. Every now and then we'll bring donuts to the back room back there, just from our office, you know, saying thank you, not even during these times, but just, to keep our airport going and how important this airport is for our economy and for our residents. And so as a matter of fact, we posted something that I mentioned yesterday that we've been in contact, or we know that Mana Food Pantries is reaching out to TSA folks who may not be getting paychecks. We've had a few residents or visitors send emails to the airport saying, like, how can we help? And I think we're trying to set up some ways to get gift cards to them if that's something that you want to participate in. So, you know, these are people that, again, that are helping keep our airport running when they have a perfectly good excuse not to.
Right.
And so, you know, we just want to be appreciative of that. And, make sure you give them a genuine thank you if you're going through those TSA lines here in the next few days.
You know,
because, again, if they decided to not show up, you may not be going to wherever right. you're going. So I think that's important.
And, you know, though I don't want to be the one to say it publicly on the radio or anything, in a way, this whole kerfuffle is finally, for maybe the first time in history, given TSA agents some sympathetic, positive press.
Right.
Yeah, so it's kind of a, right. you know.
Absolutely.
So I was talking, Santa Rosa County, Kerry Smith, you know Commissioner Smith, had brought up a kind of an interesting proposal. It was, I think, doomed to not go anywhere. They were going to follow, like, subdivisions that were being developed, they wanted to put up some signs explaining that it wasn't them who approved the subdivision. It was approved in 06 or 18 or whatever. But I think that was, like, the small right. potatoes version of the problem. What they're really complaining about a lot is misinformation and malicious information, you know, dis and misinformation on social media. And it got me thinking about the job of a public information officer. And, you know, I'm not saying you need to tax your people with it, but I'm asking you this question is, what do you think about the idea of basically directing a PIO and saying, your job is to go tell the truth on social media, find the errors, correct them gently, politely, kindly, with a thick skin. But let's fix some of this, because, look, you know, you and your team are very responsive to me. You're very responsive to, you know, Randy at Channel 3 and, you know, Lisa, P&J or Jim Noller, whoever. But a lot of people get their bad information from sources that you guys are maybe not actively engaged on. And I know you're pretty active for a politician on social media, but have you ever thought about that as a strategy? You know, let's get out there and correct some of this stuff.
Yeah, actually, I'd love to. I could probably do a 15-minute segment next time I'm in the studio on just this, because of my background. You know,
yeah.
Background as a journalist and having opinions on that. And you hit the nail on the head. The unfortunate issue of today is there's as much credence given to comments on Facebook or Instagram or on Reddit from anonymous sources as true. And then it becomes this general government burden, the bad guys, quote unquote, kind of a stereotype that it's given. And the media was the same way. You know, when you look at approval ratings of media or government, they're low. And so then it becomes this guilty until proven innocent scenario. And so I get asked all the time, well, you know, hey, why are you, some mayors don't do that. Why do you active on social media? Because if I'm not, then I'll go to the next three Rotary clubs or town halls having to answer for some person who may not even live here saying something about getting a $500 parking ticket that doesn't exist. So, you know, it's those types of things that's just, unfortunately, like it or not, whether I like it or not, that is the new age of information and misinformation is anybody that can say anything under any fake name they want, and then it becomes the job of the government to come prove that person isn't correct.
Right, right.
That the burden of proof has changed to such a small level that it makes things difficult with information and misinformation, for sure.
And, you know, the people who yell the loudest about anonymous sourcing and bias in mainstream media turn right around and give a total pass to the most ridiculous, flagrant falsehoods on social media and the unbelievable bias and ignorance that most of it represents, and lump us all and get, you know, I'm with you. You know. We always like to end with something a little bit fun, lightning round, quick questions for you. First one, how do you unload your grocery cart? Do you stand behind the cart on the tall end and reach over because you're relatively tall, or do you go in front of it and turn backwards and load to the conveyor from the front of the cart?
Neither. Usually from the side. Maybe the Publix that I go to has got more room.
Yeah, luxury
kind of either back or side, I guess. Yeah, I've got enough wingspan, former basketball player, you know, I can get down there.
That's right. Tell me a sport that you were shocked to find out people didn't understand the rules for as a sports journalist.
Ooh, man. I'll be honest. There's a lot. I would put it this way. Mainstream sports like football or basketball, where there's somebody yelling from the stands where they definitely think they know the rules that are not correct. That's what I would say. It's not so much one sport. It's people yelling about what rule, another fake rule that doesn't exist. I think maybe not the finer points of the major sports.
I was just stunned to find out that all of the people that I play kickball, many of the people who are younger, you know, like 25, and I love playing with them. They're fabulous people, but they don't know the basic rules of baseball. And I was like, I thought everybody knew this stuff, and they don't, you know, and just, right. People just don't know what they don't know, right?
Exactly.
All right, last one. Chuck Norris, of course, passed away over the weekend. Do you have a favorite Chuck Norris movie and or role, or a favorite Chuck Norris quote, joke, or both?
Oh man, not offhand. What was your choice?
Oh well, I just saw one yesterday that I thought was fantastic. It said that it was Chuck Norris standing next to a picture of Chuck Norris with a hat on, and the caption was, "Chuck Norris admitted to using stunt doubles in his movies, but only for the parts where he's required to cry."
Exactly. So those are always good, man. Those were big. 20 years ago, I've left them out of my brain and put in more things about stormwater. But
we were okay. That's payback for the Rolls Royce comment. Yeah. That's fine. All right, I'll take it, old man. I heard what you said, Mayor DC Reeves. As always, sir, a pleasure. Thank you for the information. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thank you much.
They were funny 20 years ago. Jordan Glass has traffic on the fives.
We got that slowdown, Mobile and Kirk. That is a relatively new accident there, so keep an eye out there. Most of the slowdown is happening on Mobile Highway. Also, main gate for NAS Pensacola is still backed up past the Shell station at this point in time. But if you see anything else, let us know, 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your traffic on the fives.
So sometimes I'm too good at explaining a thing that I don't explain it fully. And I actually had this question posed to me yesterday. You ready? Andrew, Christina Leavenworth, you're always talking about her, selling all these homes. Her team sells 209 homes last year, doing a great job of selling homes. Can she help you buy a home? And my first thought in my head was, well, she's a real estate agent, of course. And I thought, you're right. I don't talk about that side of it very often. And absolutely. If you're trying to buy a home, whether it's a personal home, an investment home, you want to do a rental, you want to do a long-term or a short-term, you know, an investment property for your kids, a fixer-upper, whatever, absolutely, even a new home. She helps people buy new homes all the time because she knows the deals, knows the prices, knows the extras she can get for you, all of that kind of stuff. So, yes, absolutely, she helps people buy homes all the time. And I know I probably don't talk enough about it. So there you go. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. Selling or buying or both. 786-3996.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBB accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com. Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You recognize the smell of marijuana, but it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Oh, somebody texts in, hilarious. Do palm trees survive snow? No, the way I've understood it is that palm trees die anything below 79 degrees and anything above 85. Yeah, so it's a joke. Come on. All right, David Wayne will have your local news coming up next. And what did Fox Jesse Waters find out about the knowledge level of Spring Breakers?
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.